That's the Sidewinder. That's Lee Morgan. And you're listening to the report. Apropos of the point about Syria, we do have to step up. The sanctions issue is, and embassy, by the way. This is, I keep coming back to that ignorant phrase, our values. Well, unfortunately, the world is, you know the proverb or saying, I hear what you say, and I see what you do. I hear what you say, and I see what you do. So you don't allow an embassy because you want to show off that you don't like a government. And then they have a humanitarian disaster, and you say, cluck, cluck. We're going to do everything we can except help. So frankly, those are the values, and it ought to be repaired. It's really too bad we don't have opposition parties in Canada, but we have people who, so far, as I understand the so-called opposition, they say, oh, we would have done more. Oh, we'd really stick it to them. Rather like at the State of the Union or the balloon story where they said, Biden shot it down, but we would have shot it down earlier. We were shot first, which is a bizarre, foolish situation. So we should, yes, open the embassies. I would say that's true of all of them, actually. There are other embassies that are not currently functioning, and that just preys on people's ignorance and encourages a chauvinistic, parochial view of the world. The only part of the world that matters is ourselves, and we have to preen ourselves and talk about how we're superior, but we don't interact. And it's a disgrace. Now, on February 19, you're going to be hearing a lot about that on the theater report, but February 19th, there's going to be, at 12 p.m. Eastern Time, there's going to be a webinar, and it's a Canada-Wide Peace and Justice Network. It's peaceandjusticenetwork.ca. There's going to be a webinar titled No to War, No to NATO, North American Perspectives on Ukraine, Russia, and NATO. There's going to be three individuals speaking, I gather. Glenn Michalczuk, and he is the president of the Association of United Ukrainian Canadians, AUUC, and chair of Peace Alliance Winnipeg. I'll take the time to mention, there are many points of view from, as you would expect, as it should be, natural, among Ukrainians, people of Ukrainian descent who, and there's a tendency to think that all of Ukraine is represented by Mr. Zelensky, which would be false on the face of it, but there's, at the moment, that's how they have reduced the story. So Glenn Michalczuk is a speaker, Margaret Kimberly, and she is a member of Black Alliance for Peace, coordinating committee and executive editor and publisher of Black Agenda Report. And listeners will recall we often had as our guest on the show Glenn Ford, passed away years ago, just a legendary, I would call him, figure. And brilliant, and I always told him I envied him his voice. He had, not only was he a really smart and able individual, but he had a voice that was, you said, you want to look up at the clouds and say, where did that come from? The other speaker is Kevin McKay, and he is a professor at Mohawk College in Hamilton and vice president of the Mohawk Faculty Union, OPSU, Local 240. And again, the title of the webinar is No to War, No to NATO, North American Perspectives on Ukraine, Russia, and NATO. That's February 19, 12 p.m. Eastern Time. And this is the Taylor Report. It is CIUT 89.5 FM. There's a February 19 is becoming a contentious date. There's going to be a demonstration promoted by the Libertarian Party of the U.S. and the Freedom Party of the U.S. You would know Ron Paul's name as Libertarian and Jimmy Dore, and I believe, I'm not sure whether Max Blumenthal is actually a member of the Freedom Party, but at any rate, those organizations are putting together a demonstration. And there's a very productive argument going on about this demonstration on the 19th. It's going to be at the Lincoln Gather at the Lincoln Memorial, 12 o'clock on that day. So I guess what you have to take your mobile phone with you. You can listen to the webinar from here and also be standing at the demonstration. Medea Benjamin of Code Pink is going to be present. Someone just read me today her message about this. She's going to be present at the demonstration. Her organization has decided they don't want to endorse it, and so, and I guess they asked her not to speak. I mentioned that a debate, kind of debate, is taking place. It's probably long overdue about demands and demonstration and who you stand next to and all that. I just mentioned some further names you might know. Jill Stein is going to be there. We sit on this show. I'm going to repeat it. I have a great deal of respect for Jill Stein. And she has been endorsed by her executive committee, is my understanding. And given the fact that there's, I reported this on the show last week, this pushing and shoving and get up on that platform and get off that platform and you're no good and et cetera, back and forth. But she says she is going to be there. Garland Nixon is going to be there. Cynthia McKinney has been an added name. Scott Ritter was going to speak but has withdrawn. People go on the net who are opposed to the war and want to see demonstrations are following all this very closely, and I think to their benefit that finally we're having a healthy discussion about how we're going to organize people to try to bring the war to an end. And the ways to do so, we've raised it on this show. Speaking of the Canadian government, the British government, U.S. government, and they all are of the same. All they know is more weapons. And I mentioned that I think the NDP wants to be at the front and more weapons. The United States has military budgets that go through the roof. They have trillions. They talk about their military business in trillions, and they can't. They are supposed to do an audit in the U.S. military, and the last I heard that something like 35% of the only, I think I got it backwards, 35% of their budget can be accounted for, and all those guys that you see with those row of medals that go down to their navel. And they all have mastered posture, military posture, standing still for 3 or 4 minutes. They don't know how to keep books. They don't know how to make a report. But everybody says, oh, I love those medals. Just give him whatever he wants. So they go home with their pockets full of more cash for more weapons or maybe an extra home or two in Hawaii. You have that kind of money, and it's not accounted for. There's a few people who have become wealthy. So this is being addressed, and I'm going to read to you again the 10 demands for the February 19 demonstration are, not a penny for the war. That's number one. Number two is negotiate peace. Three is stop the war inflation. That's a topic here because I watched Chrystia Freeland say that the inflation is Putin's fault. So I don't know how you're supposed to take your complaint to Putin. I think she, as I understand it, U.S. policy is actually to regime change Russia. So you're going to have inflation until they've achieved that, I suppose. Number four is disband NATO. Number five is global de-escalation. I hope you're listening to these and thinking, why wouldn't I go to that demonstration? And we'll come back to that. So then number six, slash the Pentagon budget, the trillions I was just speaking of. America has a military budget that dwarfs all other countries on the earth, dwarfs them, shade over them. You can't see them. Do yourself a little graph sometime, or there's plenty of graphs around to look at. There's no comparison as a U.S. military budget with it, 800 bases around the world. And by the way, they never spy on anybody because, they have 800 bases all over the world, fly all over the earth, sail under the water, have the aircraft in all the oceans. But they never spy on anybody. It was very odd. You'd think they would, actually. So there's slash the Pentagon budget, abolish the CIA. Now, this is, people say, oh, my gosh, no, you can't say that. But actually, it's been an old idea because, as we learned from the Vietnam War and the Church Committee, that the Central Intelligence Agency, which I forgot, now that I've caught the number seven and going back to the other ones, think the CIA is supposed to spy on other people, but they found out, the Church Committee found out that the CIA was also spying on Americans. Well, obviously, if that is the case, then you have to abolish it to start over because that isn't the concept. So the guy said, well, no, we give you this budget because we think we might have problems with this country or that country, and we want you to go and check. You didn't ask them to come and follow you down the street and see if they can disrupt your activity. For example, if you're going to have a demonstration against the war, CIA for some reason thinks that's their business. So anyway, abolish the CIA. I guess, hey, if I was there, I might say, while we're at it, we could get rid of the FBI. But number eight is abolish war and empire. In other words, frankly, address the idea, which was an old argument in the United States about becoming an empire. One of the founders, this is my addition to their point, founders, as the empire was really going global, and that was the Spanish-American War when America took over the Philippines, by the way, Puerto Rico, Cuba, etc. Mark Twain and William James, two of the more distinguished minds, certainly intellectually the peers of Joe Biden and Mr. Blinken, Twain and William James and others said, becoming an empire will destroy us. It is because you're taking abroad, you're getting yourself involved abroad in directing, supporting, invading, overthrowing people. And of course, there were indigenous Americans who would say, we know about that. I'm sure Twain wouldn't have objected if they had joined his organization. He probably did. But at any rate, abolishing war and empire, if you get rid of the empire, you will definitely take care of your war problems, because all America's war problems, just going to Libya, bombing Syria, bombing Sudan, bombing Guatemala, Nicaragua. All I'm doing is just pulling the names out of the air because every one of them been attacked, including Panama. People forget about the invasion of Panama. Why did they go to Panama? Because they said that the former president, or it might have been the sitting president, Noriega, was involved, according to the CIA, in drugs. So therefore, it was necessary for the U.S. Air Force to blast the Panamanians. Many, many lost their lives. It's in the thousands. So that they could capture Mr. Noriega. So I'm all for it. Abolish the empire. Restore civil liberties. If you look at the American Homeland Security Business Act, these new things that were brought in with 9/11, basically Americans surrendered their civil liberties, civil rights in the name of being safe. It's the oldest issue in the world. So they say, oh, I want to be safe. Well, okay, we're going to have to tap your phone. Sure, sure, go ahead. Yeah. We're going to need to know who you're, where you're employed and what you're doing. And okay, fine, as long as I'm safe. And we'll need to know what political meetings you go to, what political parties you belong to, who you receive mail from. Okay, hey, as long as I'm safe. So, and we're going to have to spy on you for your own good. Okay. So, actually, this is, to my mind, I'm glad they're raising it, because if you don't have civil liberties, you can't, you're not going to be able to ask questions. You're not going to be able to have a meeting without thinking that there's a policeman at your meeting. And by the way, I guarantee you, if you have a meeting of more than 25 people opposed to the war, there's a policeman has been assigned to make sure he knows what you're doing. And the last is a really memorable and important one, free Julian Assange. And now, in a way, you know, this is not boiled down to one war, and it's, you know, 10 demands. But given the speakers, I mentioned last week, Dennis Kucinich is going to speak, former mayor of Cleveland, former Democratic Party congressman. From Ohio, a somebody who actually has integrity. If you look at his record, he puts all these other guys to shame. He doesn't have any funny family connections, making money around the world, as in the Biden family. Dennis Kucinich, outstanding individual, and of course the Democratic Party, since he was beloved and respected. The Democratic Party challenged his nomination for to run. As you know, in the United States Congress, you have to be elected every 2 years, which in outlook, that's a great idea. The elected person doesn't get the idea that they're there forever. I mean, 2 years, pretty short run. Abraham Lincoln, for example, he served one term, and he gave a speech where he said, well, you're telling me that we've been attacked by Mexico, and the Mexican soldiers on our soil. He said, you show me the spot where they, where foreign forces have entered the United States, and I will vote for the war resolution. But if you can't show me, it was called, I think it, you could look it up, as spot. The spot legislation, but well, Abe Lincoln got in trouble, but it showed his, by the way, his true credentials as a rather remarkable American leader. Anyway, he didn't get reelected; he got waxed because of that. And Dennis Kucinich got he was defeated, so these are it's a substantial list. Chris Hedges is speaking as well. I urge people, because I say a healthy debate, I call it a very healthy debate, because people need to start talking about how you build a mass movement. And Chris Hedges has contributed today, I think, he's posted his point of view on why we need the widest possible alliance of forces. I don't personally accept the left-right game, because in North America, the left is such a confused story that you may as well just give it up. I want to know, are you against the NATO role in creating a havoc, and it's not just in Ukraine, in Eastern Europe, and blocking diplomacy, blocking any effort for negotiations, and blocking any effort to get to bring the fighting to an end. That possibility was there, still there, but we need voices to speak up. And in the United States, there hasn't been anything resembling a substantial resistance, public resistance to the war. Now, there are organizations. The Answer Coalition is having a demonstration in March, and I assume it will be large. I believe it all demonstrations who are calling out that entity which we have some say in, NATO, call it out and point out that NATO is behind the crisis. You can cite many, many people, but President Obrador of Mexico has said this, and the new president, or the once again president of Brazil, Mr. Lula, both of them say this. And I would point out, why don't Canadians listen to people in our own hemisphere who are making the point? But if there is demonstration saying disband NATO, or end the war through diplomacy, you want to be there. Or if you're a bystander and you want to see an end to this conflict, which is daily proving to be more dangerous, then you would wish them success. So I would say, for example, I hope that the demonstration in March is a success. And I hope the one in Washington on February the 19th is a success, because the United States Congress and the president are all of one, all singing from the same page. As I mentioned, the opposition to Biden is, you got to send more weapons, or you got to raise the ante, or you have to, you know, engage. A lot of the editorial writing almost is right on the verge of, it's in Dr. Strangelove country, because it's the nuclear blackmail, tell them we mean it, and don't blink, and all that stuff is right out of Dr. Strangelove. And there has to be a resistance. I don't doubt at all that the American people, just like the Canadian people, are actually uneasy about all this. Despite what Mr. Jagmeet Singh thinks, or Polyev thinks, the Canadian people are uncomfortable, because, you know, listen, we all grew up and come from all over the place and know something about history, whether you're from Poland, Ukraine, Italy, Greece, Turkey, etc. You have history in your DNA. And you have previous wars in your DNA. So when you hear a speech by Biden, you know, it doesn't just, the ordinary Canadian, or by Trudeau, the ordinary Canadian, ordinary American, they don't just die. They hear you, and they look at you. That doesn't mean they agree with you. And I think there is going to be a strong reaction. I think that the population is going to begin to move on this subject. And I would think those people, you know, if you have a demonstration, good for you. If you, so-and-so, the other guy has a demonstration, good for him. If they're both challenging NATO, and if they're challenging the failure to use diplomacy and say that this is the road, then they all deserve support, and I hope that they all get that support. And again, I just urge you, read the Chris Hedges. Caitlin Johnson is a brilliant writer. I think she's American, living in Australia. Just put her name in, And Caitlin has the gift of being not only right and smart, but she's also funny, frankly. She knows how to do this. And so if you want the short version, go to her site. I want to mention again this matter of Obrador. He's the president of Mexico. We've been going through this silly little thing with balloons, which are being called objects. But they seem to be admitting, actually, that they're balloons. But they know the balloon doesn't sound menacing. So they're going with objects. I watched Minister Anand standing beside a tall, thin man with shaved head, who was general, and he was wearing his camo because, you know, we're on the verge, so he had his camo gear on. And then she stood beside him, and she talked on and on about objects. We shot an object, et cetera. We took the big step. But he had to answer one question, and I don't know whether he meant to contradict her, but he said balloon. And that took the fun out of it, because if you say to a kid, and you know what was really dangerous, it was a balloon. And the kid will say, a balloon? Now, that doesn't get it. You have to have a flying object, some kind of object. That's where it didn't take 48 hours before people decided this was somebody from Mars. And now the White House today had to say, no, we didn't really mean it's from Mars. It's just something else. But bringing it back to Obrador, our minister, defense minister, she said that, you know, we got to really obviously learn the lesson. This is beef up NORAD. We got to more stuff, and because we're protecting North America. President Obrador of Mexico is the leader of a North American country, and he doesn't agree with you. As a matter of fact, by the way, I hope you noticed, there have been a couple of balloons passed over South America, and the countries there didn't go apoplectic. They just said, there's a balloon. I think they understand that the sky, they tell us, is full of satellites. So you saw a balloon. Doesn't mean much, but President Obrador doesn't have the F-35, he doesn't have the F-22, he's not interested in buying sidewinders from Boeing or whoever sells sidewinders. The Mexican budget is not going over the top in weaponry. The people of Mexico seem to feel they're secure from foreign invasion, except from the United States, but that's always a possibility. But we ought to ask, how come we're in this pickle here? Also, Mexico is not a member of NATO. Yet Mexico is one of we're now told, is our big new partner. We have the three amigos. So if we have three amigos, why don't we our amigo from Mexico seems to have a different approach, and his population is not, you know, holding their hands to their mouths and looking at the sky. That's us. And he didn't ask, when you say North America, you're really not allowed to do that, because he is part of North America. You can talk for Canada and the United States. Go ahead and do it. That's fine. It's embarrassing, but that's fine. But if you're going to say North America, you have to include Mr. Obrador. Another item on Obrador to know is that he has taken a position that he is going, he received the president of Cuba. Is there, might still be there today, but yes, he was, you can look online. President Obrador said he's fed up with the American blockade and sanctions on Cuba. And he says every year the United Nations overwhelmingly says drop those criminal sanctions against the country of Cuba, which he says is a wonderful country, wonderful people, and a government that cares about the people. So he said he's going to take it further. He says, I'm going to lead a campaign to end the sanctions. That's, now that is news. I haven't seen it being played here, but so that's why you listen to the Tate Report. You find out about it. I think I've got a couple more minutes here. I want to mention something that that amuses me. It was the State of the Union address by Joe Biden. He said something which I thought, why aren't we talking about it? He suddenly and spontaneously said, name me a leader. What leader in the world would want to be President Xi of China? Who would want to be in his situation? You know, where did that come from? First of all, and then he said, name me one. And then he paused and said, name me one leader in the world who would want to be President Xi. Well, of course, leaders of the world want to lead their countries. But it's such a bizarre question. If you were asking objectively, would they like to have development at the pace and degree that you see in China, all of them, frankly. But of course, if you're speaking to the United States Congress and the Pentagon leaders and to the Supreme Court of the United States, there's nobody in the room who can name five leaders anyway. So I guess it's a trick question. How could anybody name any leaders? Nobody in the United States could name five leaders in the world. They would say, oh, wait a minute, who's the president? That's the way that works. You're listening to the Tate Report. I think we're close to the time when we might be hearing. Actually, I think if we have it, I want to play I'm going to Kansas City because, bless their hearts, Mahomes did it again. And it gives us a chance to listen to Fast Domino.